I grew up with way too many boy cousins. And I never could kind of get the tomboy thing right. I couldn't. I know. I'm in the presence of one who did. I didn't learn to ride a bike till I was in college. It's true. I could climb trees because I was smaller than they and eat fruit and throw pits, which I did. But I never got the whole tomboy thing right. And my refuge from all of these boy cousins was the Parish Street Library, where Miss Hannah was the librarian, and she specialized in finding the exact book that a child should read. It was walking distance from my house, and to escape my cousins, I found myself in the library. It was fabulous. It was also air conditioned, and that made a difference. Miss Hannah would walk with you through the stacks and listen to what you want and then pull off a book or two or three and then sit you in some wonderful place and ask you to pick the book that was right for you. Oh, you felt so special. And as she turned to walk away, she said the same thing every time. Now, don't skip to the end. You'll ruin the journey. You'll mess up the voyage if you skip to the end. And so, like a good little girl in the Parish Street Library at about 9 years of age, I vowed that I would never skip to the end. I would walk with the twists and turns of all of those books, even when it looked like the heroine would be destroyed. I wouldn't skip to the end because Miss Hannah had said the journey was worth the wait. But I broke my vow this week. I broke my vow because I had to skip to the end. You see, we're going to think together in this post-Easter time about what the resurrected church looks like. We're going to think together over these 4 or 5 weeks about what it means to be God's people on this side of Easter, on this side of Christ getting up and the promises being fulfilled. And in order to talk about the resurrected church, I needed to know what was at the end of the story. And so I flipped to the end of our biblical writ and began to read the book of Revelation again. And I found the end of the story. I found the end of the story. It's right there in the text that Elaine read to us this morning. In the 12th chapter, we learn that the evil one is let loose on the world. We learn that he's hurled down to earth, and the text says, "Woe to the earth because he is among you." Evil is let loose, and evil has been let loose in our world. We do have bombs falling on Easter Sunday on a group of Christians in Pakistan. We do have bullets ablaze in the nighttime sky in Chicago. We have bullies in all places in our world, in institutions of power and on street corners. And we have evil because there's brokenness everywhere. Brokenness of the covenant, brokenness of the promises. There's evil. And the Revelation text tells us that evil would be let loose. But did you hear what Elaine kept reading? At the very end of that Revelation 12 text, it says that the one who has been hurled down has a short time to live in this world. In other words, he's not the end of the story. In other words, when you have a bad day or a bad season in your life, that's not the end of your story. The end of the story is told in that second Revelation text, because the end of the story is a new heaven comes down to earth. And do not miss what that means. So many people say that our world is going to hell in a handbasket and that God will destroy it. But that's not what the Revelation text says. It says a new heaven comes down to this earth, and this earth is redeemed. All that evil has broken is made whole. All that evil has corrupted is made good. All that evil has tainted and stopped from being what God would have it be, the lives of men and women ravaged by disease will be made whole. Those children who are cheated out of a life will be made whole. The earth that has seen degradation will be made whole. Evil's time is short. The end of the story is this, that Jesus gets up with all power in his hand. The end of the story is this, that death and hell and the grave have no power. The end of the story is this, that Christ wins. Look, God's dwelling, Revelation 21 says, God's dwelling will be among the people. Look, God's self will be with them, and every tear will be wiped away. Every pain will be gone. There'll be no more death. All things old, all things broken will be gone. And God says, I will make all things new. That's the end of the story. That anything that has lost its God-given shape, anything that has been tainted by corruption, the end of the story is that love wins and Christ wins and we who follow win. So, beloved, here's the question. If you read the end of the story, and you know that those who follow the risen Christ win, if you read the end of the story and know that that war that broke out in heaven results with the evil one being hurled down and defeated and dethroned and denied any power, if you read the end of the story and you see this new heaven and this new earth, how does it change? The moments in the story when it looks like evil is winning. How does it change your reading of the story when it looks like the plot is about to turn and the ones who you've been rooting for are going to be just decimated? How does it change your reading of the story when even in the midst of the maelstrom, even in the midst of the difficulty and the challenge, you know what the end of the story says? You see, when I was a kid, those same mean boy cousins loved the movie The Birds. Hitchcock. And if you've never seen it, it's filmed in a part of California I know well, and the birds lose their minds, and they mass, and they start attacking people. It is one of the most scary movies for a nine-year-old possible, particularly when you've got two birds in the kitchen in a cage. I would watch the movie under the dining room table, because I was safe from the birds and my cousins. But finally, one night, watching it, fearful, my father walks by and says, you know the end of the movie. Everybody walks away safe. Scarred, yes, but safe. And all of a sudden I thought, I don't have to watch this under the dining room table anymore. I can sit out here with them and taunt them. They have no more power over me. They cannot use this story to scare me because I know the end of the story. Beloved, we live in a world that is off its axis. We live in a world where that which is good can be turned bad in a heartbeat. We live in a world where around us life is not valued and lying and spinning is more important than truth. We live in a world where greed has taken hold and people don't care about those who otherwise would be part of their community and part of their circle. We've isolated ourselves behind closed doors and said, if you're not part of what I know to be mine, then you're not part of that which I'm concerned. We live in a world that's so different, but beloved, we need not live that way because we know the end of the story. The end of the story is there is enough for everybody. The end of the story is as we stand up and tell truth and fight for righteousness, as we speak the words that God has given us about the care for the least and the left out, we're not going to lose. We know the end of the story. Our challenge is will we let our knowledge about the end of the story, a new heaven and a new earth, our challenge is will we let our knowledge about the end of the story, God will come and dwell with us. Our challenge is will we let our knowledge, no more tears, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. Will we let it change the way we live and walk now? Will we let it change us so that we take risks for the things of God? Will we let it change us so that we stand flat-footed and speak God's truth to the world? Will we let it change us to send us into places and spaces that we might not otherwise go so that we can take the hope of our God and the truth of this story and tell those who've lost it, God's love will win? Knowing the end of the story, knowing the end of the movie of the birds and still being frightened while I watched it didn't make any sense. The moment I knew the end, I could get through the difficult parts. I could manage the difficulty because I knew. We know. God's love reigns supreme. We know. God redeems all that is broken. We know. And so, if we are going to live as the resurrected church, if we're going to live as God's people, God's Easter people, if we're going to live as those who believe in the power of the resurrection and His power when He said, "All power is in my hands," if we're going to believe it and live it, then our world will change because we will change it. It's not easy. It's not even going to be straightforward. It's going to be challenging and it's going to be messy. And some of us, like the people in the movie, might have nicks. But we still know the end. So, beloved, the table is set. Come dine. Come eat. Come grow strong. For our pathway is set before us. And no matter the twists and the turns along the way, we know the end. Come eat. Dine, grow strong, that together we might carry the end of this story, the message of God's love and God's triumph and God's victory into the world, so that the world need not be afraid of the days and the steps along the way, for they too will know how this story ends.